Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you that as we face the issues, you are our program. We invite you to call in, dial in, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comment, your dialogue, and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. This program is designed around a Q&A format. That format allows you to participate and be part of the program. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You see, there are a lot of people today that make the determination decision how to respond to an issue, how to respond to a crisis, how to respond to problems and difficulties based on denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, or based on some political ideological bent. But may I recommend the resource book that I have found to be so helpful for less than 100 years now? That is called the Bible. Back in little Sunday school classes many, many years ago, you'd sing the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, the Bible. That's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. Let me recommend that to you. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Between the covers I found between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation chapter 22, you'll find answers to every problem, every difficulty, and every issue that we're faced with in life. Jesus pointed this out to his disciples when he said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then he made a statement, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is by staying in the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we find the truth, that we know the truth, that we understand the truth, not based on what Nancy Pelosi or AOC or Chuck Schumer or anyone on either side of the aisle in Washington might say, or what the social Marxist media might say. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. It is first, foremost, and final, and it ought to be that in your life and in mine. And yet I'm finding today, ladies and gentlemen, that as in the book of Judges, every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And that's what we see taking place in our nation today. That's bringing about the catastrophic results of the demise of the fundamental foundation of the United States of America. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. It is the truth book. It is the book filled with answers. It is the answer book. Jesus then points out in John 17:17, where he says, thy word is truth. It is the truth of the Word of God that I believe holds the full answer for life and living, and especially in the days in which we're living. We're talking about today crisis in America. We're going to discuss that with a big, broad brush of what we see taking place and what we've seen happening since about January of this year to this very point. In the past 6 months, we've watched the undermining and the tearing down and the destruction of our constitutional republic and the representative form of government. And it deserves, it demands, it requires that we find and seek a biblical answer as to the resolution of this demise in our nation. And it's found in truth. George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be true today, perhaps as never before in the history of our great nation. But let me refer you to a profound statement made by Jan Hus. Jan Hus was a 15th century church reformer and theologian. Jan Hus said this: "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I believe that's what God would have us to do today, ladies and gentlemen. I find it sad and demonstrably disturbing when, and we'll talk about this in the broadcast, when as a result of President Trump holding up a Bible, the media goes absolutely hair on fire crazy. The politicians are absolutely distressed. But even beyond that is the castigating, criticizing remarks made by so-called evangelicals. I find it distressing. I find it disturbing. I find that you might view that as being the underlying problem in our nation today that's allowing us to plummet to the slime pits as we're seeing the demise of our constitutional republic and any sense of biblical authority in the United States of America. We need to take that statement by Jan Hus very seriously. Seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of Honda generators and all of the hurricane preparedness equipment that you'll need for this season. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable people to answer all of your questions about power equipment for your landscape, lawn care, business, or for the homeowner, as well as the answering your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment and backup generation power. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, where is that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. A good benchmark, identifying benchmark or monument for that would be the gigantic flag, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. It's about 165-foot pole, gigantic flag there. When you find that flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, look at the base of that flag. You'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of that telephone number once again. Sometimes I get so involved in what I'm wanting to say and with the time to say it that I fail to remind you that, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, it was President Trump that recently said, and I quote, "We need more prayers, not less." Our president made that statement when he declared that, quote, "houses of worship are essential." Now, I say that because that is the beginning point of what we want to talk about today, about crisis in America. Because you realize, ladies and gentlemen, today we are witnessing a real crisis in our nation. The answer to our national crisis is not more government. It's not less police power. It's not more lectures on racism. We do not need more national demonstrations. What then do we need? What is the answer? What does our nation need today? Ladies and gentlemen, we must turn back to God. We must recognize that God is our only hope, our only help, and the healing for our nation. Now, you can find all of the polemics from those on the left. You can find all of the speeches from those on the right. You can listen to all that the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, and the Communist Network News might say. But the final answer to the problem, the final resolution to what we're seeing in the crisis in America today is turning back to God as a nation, saying yes to God, and answer what he would have us to do. His word is the only hope, ladies and gentlemen. America has banned the Bible in public schools. We banned prayer in Jesus' name. We as a nation have embraced murder by way of abortion. We've embraced the sodomite lifestyle called the LGBTQ movement, where we have the transsexuals, the pedophiles, doing story hour in our libraries at taxpayers' expense. We have the sodomite movement today that's wanting to force the church to embrace the immoral, ungodly, unholy elements that they are projecting as being needful and necessary. We're watching our city councils and our state leaders and national leaders across the nation embracing what's called the HROs, the Human Rights Ordinance. I call it the Human Reprobate Ordinance. We're watching the sodomites wanting to force the churches to embrace their lifestyle, and multitudes have. Multitudes of churches and across all denominations today, they've embraced the social justice program. They have embraced the socialist, Marxist elements of society. They're embracing the sodomite lifestyle with sodomite pastors and embracing that in the churches as the membership. So we're looking at the demoralization of our nation. We've allowed the socialist, Marxist, Democrats to infiltrate our constitutional republic and to undermine our Bill of Rights. Now, how do we respond to that? Francis Schaeffer of yesteryear would ask the question, how should we then live? What is the answer when we've banished God? I know after 9/11, there were a lot of people that were crying, where's God, when that took place? God's in the same place he's always been. He's still on his throne. He's not abandoned his throne. He's not gone on vacation. He's not in some way impotent that he can't do something. But when we've banned God, banished the Bible, and banned prayer, and then in a catastrophe and a major declension in society, we say, where is God? He's not hiding. He's not on vacation. He's simply awaiting a nation, a people, and especially the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to call on him, to turn to him, and to recognize that we need to cast all of our cares on him because the Bible says he cares for us. We need to recognize that he calls us, come to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God is the answer to the crisis that we're faced with in America, but it's not recognized today, not by the socialists, Marxists, Democrats. It's not recognized by most of the Republicans. It's not recognized by citizens in general. And the sad thing is that is not recognized by many of the so-called Christians in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, it was this socialist, Marxist, Democrat hysteria that caused panic and fear and anxiety and then shut down all of America and American businesses and our churches without constitutional authority. We've legalized drugs. We have enslaved our citizens to pot in, I reckon, about 30 states now that's legalized it. It's on the amendments, one of the amendments that's in the state of Florida on the agenda for voting for voters to determine in November of this year. And yet, based on the statistical data that I have researched, multitudes in the state of Florida are ready and willing to vote yes on recreational use of pot, marijuana. We will have a stupefied, crazed society in our state, just as you find today in Colorado, in Oregon, in Washington State, and in California, and in many other states across America that's already made the decision to legalize it because it brings in major revenue for the bureaucrats to continue to spend. But ladies and gentlemen, what we've seen in America today, with the shutting down of our nation, the closure of our stores by government fiat, and the shutting down of our churches, all without constitutional authority. You've heard me say dozens of times on this broadcast in the past 10 weeks in particular. A law is where it's been debated. A bill has been debated in the State House by the Senate and the representatives. It is then brought to the floor and voted on. If a bill is passed, then it is signed by the governors, and then and only then does it become law. The executive orders, the fiat regulations and the rules and the guidelines that's been handed down since January of this year in America by our wannabe tyrant dictator governors and mayors is illegal, unconstitutional, unenforceable. Now, if you don't believe that, follow some of these cases where a person has been arrested for opening their business. Follow some of these cases, and there's about 100 of them plus now, where churches have filed suit against the governments, the local governments, the state governments, because of an unconstitutional trek into the liberties and the evisceration of our Bill of Rights, when those cases get to any administrative hearing, they have in every case, they have been overturned, rejected, and the person has been set free and or all the charges dropped. That is simply because those rules and regulations by wannabe tyrant dictator governors and mayors have been unconstitutional. But it set the stage, ladies and gentlemen. It has set the stage for where we are today in the absolute crisis that America is faced with. Today, America has been crippled financially, about 40 million out of work. Over 100,000 deaths, ladies and gentlemen, by suicide, drug and alcohol overdose, and domestic violence and the domestic abuse in our nation, all out of the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness brought about by the lockdown of America. And yes, Nancy Pelosi and the AOC squad and Chuck Schumer, they've all been relishing in the fact that they have passed the CARES Act that allows, let me say this in advance, the CARES Act, with the mega dollars being paid to people to sit down and do nothing, is the fact of the funding that's allowing the rogue thugs in the street today to be in the streets day and night because they're being paid by the federal government, your tax dollars and my tax dollars, to be rioting, looting, demonstrating, vandalizing, burning buildings, killing police officers, and robbery and theft in America today. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, all of this was done by fake, false, fictitious fiat data that warned us that 2.2 million people would die unless we shut down our economy. If we shut down the economic engine, if we allow mom-and-pop businesses to go belly up, if we force major box stores and companies that have been in existence for 100-plus years to simply file bankruptcy, ladies and gentlemen, and our churches be forced to close. Now, I don't know, my wife and I were just talking last evening and asking the question, I wonder how many churches are still open. I wonder if churches have opened back up in Jacksonville, Florida, or in your state, or in your city, wherever you may be right now. Have you opened your churches? In fact, I'd love to hear from you today. During the course of this broadcast, you can call 831-0917 and tell me if your church is open. When did it open? Are you still finding your pastors relishing and rejoicing in the fact that we're online and we have more people to hear us than ever before because we're online? Suggest to your pastor that he grow a backbone and open the church back up. Have a spine for the gospel. Take a stand and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And not do it in a sequestered fashion because of government that's brought about the fear and the hysteria in the hearts and the lives of so many Christians today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about crisis in America. And it's not all negative. It's all not bleak and dark, though it might seem that way. We have an answer. And the answer is the Word of God. The answer is turning back to God, turning back to the Bible, turning back to prayer, turning back to church worship, turning back to saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Where do we find that stamina and that willingness and tenaciousness to stand today as our founding fathers and our church fathers of yesteryear? I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Blumblood, I just want to make a quick statement. My church in Nassau County never closed. Our pastor informed our members that if they didn't feel comfortable, they could stay home. They would not be browbeat or admonished, but for our doors would stay open. So we never closed at all during the entire COVID virus.
Amen. God bless your pastor. That's wonderful news. You'd be surprised how many churches are still saying, well, we're going to wait, and we've got to wait until COVID-19 is over. We've got to wait. And I've said so often that if the government can close a church based on a so-called pandemic crisis, What is the next crisis? What is the next breaking point where the government will say, well, we closed you before, you bowed, you were willing to lick the boots of government and say, yes, sir, and you closed your church, and when will there be a time that a church cannot say no in the future?
Actually, we came under pressure from many of our own local churches in our town because they all closed and had parking lot services, and we came under immense pressure from the other churches to close. And under the immense pressure, our pastor stood firm and said that he stood behind all the other churches' decision, that their pastors had the responsibility to protect their own flock and make their own decisions. But we stayed open. But surprisingly, we came under pressure from our own local churches.
Yes, in fact, as you know, a church, I believe it was in Mississippi, was burned to the ground simply because the church remained open. One of the pastors, during the course of the height of this forced closure of the churches, he was standing on the front steps of the church being interviewed by the news. He was a 78-year-old pastor, and he, in a broken spirit, a broken heart, he said, "What is so dreadfully frightening to me and so sad to me is that Christians are calling." And in fact, he said, one so-called Christian called and said that, "I wish you would die and burn and go to hell because of opening your church, risking the lives of people." Most of the blowback, most of the absolute incendiary statements made for pastors and churches opening comes from those that say, "I'm saved, but," and it's because they've been fearful of what government says rather than faith in God. So I commend your church and your pastor for taking that stand. And may
Thank
I say
you,
that that is the fundamental foundation of what we need to see that God would have us to do, not just for now, but for the future of the life of the church. Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the crisis in America, a crisis in America. And we watched, ladies and gentlemen, as this crisis foundation, the apex of the crisis foundation was started back in January of this year, when all of a sudden the fake, phony, false information coming out of the Institute of London by a professor named Ferguson that determined that 2.2 million people would die in America unless we all of a sudden shut down everything. And the white-jacketed Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, coming out of Dr. Tedros, the head of the World Health Organization, all basically overwhelmed, I believe, our president with that information and behind the scenes coaching him and chiding him that he must shut down America. So he was, as some use the term today, punked. He was duped into believing that that was necessary. As time went on, after the shutdown, it was discovered that the data information that the London Institute of London had put in place and that the professor Ferguson had used were false, phony, flagrantly deceptive data material. And even Dr. Birx said on one occasion, standing before the national public as they were giving the coronavirus update, made the statement that we're discovering that some of the data information was faulty, that we're no longer looking at that data. But ladies and gentlemen, we've had today as many or more to die as a result of the shutdown and the helplessness and the hopelessness over the loss of their business, the loss of their job, the loss of the income, having no food on the table, and as a result of alcohol and drug abuse and domestic abuse and that hopelessness, over 100,000, ladies and gentlemen, lives have been lost. You've not heard that on the national news. You've not heard that on the Communist Network news. You've not heard that by Nancy Pelosi or any of the others being saddened by that taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all witnessed the persecution, the prosecution of churches and Christians, even to put a pastor in jail as a result of opening the church doors during the course of the so-called pandemic. Here's an article, Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. The last few months have been very difficult for our nation. First, it was the pandemic, and now unrest has rocked our nation with a torrent of lawlessness that began after a blatant display of police brutality in Minneapolis that took the life of George Floyd. If ever there has been a time when Americans need unbiased news, it's now. Unfortunately, it has been appalling to see where the priorities of the mainstream media lie. pushing leftist talking points. And last March, as Americans tried to navigate new stay-at-home measures, the New York Times proudly advocated anti-Christian bias by publishing an opinion article entitled "The Road to Coronavirus Hell Was Paved by Evangelicals." Ladies and gentlemen, that is still believed by multitudes of people today. It is still thought to be factual because it came from the New York Times. But most of our news media today is simply nothing but a communist, socialist, Marxist news media to sway opinion and to bring about the end desired result. But ladies and gentlemen, business owners were put in jail for opening their business. We've seen a church burned by God haters just because the church opened to preach the gospel. We've all seen city mayors and state governors act as dictators, arresting people for walking on the beach or for not social distancing or not wearing a mask. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, these same tyrant governors, like the governor of California, the governor of Michigan, governor of Kentucky, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Washington State, and many others that became little dictators, even using COVID-19 as an excuse to repress and to persecute and to prosecute citizens. I don't know of anything, ladies and gentlemen, that I could say any greater than that to point out to our listeners, to you today, that all of this that we've seen with so-called COVID-19 and the pandemic and the panic and the fear and the hysteria has set the stage for a next stage, a next level of crisis in America that's being utilized, weaponized to destroy our constitutional republic. Now, perhaps you'll ask the question, and I've had it asked before, as a Christian pastor, theologian, why are you concerned about the Bill of Rights? Why are you concerned about what is taking place in America? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, if this continues down the journey that we're watching today, and it's on, as I call it, in a jumbo 777 it's set on autopilot with no one at the controls, on a fast track toward absolute oblivion and total destruction for the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. And now, I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a conspiracist, but I want you to understand facts are facts, and if somebody can prove me absolutely incorrect or wrong, call in and tell me. I'd love to hear your correct ideas on what I'm saying. I'm concerned about it because if this continues down the track that it's going, the next thing on the agenda of the socialist, Marxist, Democrats will be to shut the churches down completely. Nancy Pelosi and 240 Democrats in January of this year, passed a bill. It's called the Equality Rights Bill, Equality Act. It was House Bill number 5. It was passed by majority vote in the House, waiting for Senate approval, which I pray to God that it won't be. But it makes the LGBTQ pedophile sodomite agenda trump all religious activity or churches. If it ever sees the light of day, it will destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America. We need to be concerned as Christians as to what's taking place. We need to be the watchman on the wall. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that if we remain silent as Christians, if we remain with our heads buried in the sand as an ostrich, believing that somehow, someway it's going away, it will absolutely tear down and destroy our nation. This is the reason I've said before, and I'll tuck it in at this point here. We need to be reminded that the only hope that we have for America today and the Constitutional Republic is to reelect Donald J. Trump. And what we see taking place is the weaponization of all of these factors, all of these crisis issues, to destroy the possibility of a free election in November. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.